8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I'm Joshua Toomey, joined by the one and only Chris Aiken. Chris, how are we doing?
We are awesome, man. How's it going over there?
It's going all right, man. I've been watching a lot of As the Landau Turns lately and keep it up with your boy there, Dave Landau.
Yes. He's got a lot going on, doesn't he?
That's crazy, man. How all of that just kind of blew up on in everyone's face. And
oh, I know.
It's a mess.
Dude, the crazy thing is I've been sitting on it. You know, Dave told me what was good because I do, for people that don't know, I do Dave's website, and I have for 5 or 6 years now. And so I was in the mix anyway, you know, as far as keeping me, there was the side of him keeping me in the mix so that, you know, if something needed to be changed on the website or something, it could be done immediately, blah, blah, blah. So I've known about all this stuff that was going on since, I don't know, maybe November. You know, November was when I started getting texts saying, well, this might happen and that might happen. And, you know, we talked and he told me what was what. And I was like, holy smokes, you know, and then I, me being me, I'm in front of a fucking camera every day. It seems like it's like, I want to talk about this. This is a, you know, it's a big national story with the whole Louder with Crowder and stuff. I'm like, I want to talk about it. Can't talk about it. Not going to blow it up. And then it just like came out. And I was like, oh, thank God. Everybody else was like, oh my God. And me, I'm like, oh, thank God. Now I can talk about this stuff.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. The show was what, You're Welcome with
Michael Malice.
Michael Malice, man. That, if you want to like a behind the scenes inside baseball of a big, you know, internet show, go check out that interview with Dave Landau, man. It is crazy. The stipulations and the don't talk light and you know, all the crazy stuff that, you know, going on in that contract and stuff. So if you want to see like, I guess how the big boys do it, man, go check out that interview with Dave Landau over on Malice.
Dude, could you even function in a world with a 5 minute, if you're 5 minutes late, go home?
No, I'm late every day to work.
I couldn't function in that. I mean, dude, sometimes I don't get up until noon.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine, well, you got to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't think I could do that. I was never good at it when I was in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Now that I've been laying home and some days I can work all night and sleep all day and some days I get up at noon and some days I get up at 4 in the morning, I don't think I could get back to a schedule like that. That would kill me. Oh. That would absolutely just be brutal.
Yeah. I'm definitely not a on-time type person. No. as my day job will tell you.
Sure. Well, I'll get you the inside story tomorrow because I'll be seeing Mr. Landau tomorrow. Me and former Talk to Me co-host John Drake will be hanging with Mr. Landau tomorrow at the Funny Stop here in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. So.
Make sure is that where the lake caught on fire? Wasn't that the Cuyahoga Lake?
That's
or something?
Cuyahoga River, yeah. Cuyahoga River.
Bringing up the stuff from the 60s, man.
That's right.
Oh, man. What a week on Talk to Me, man. I had one of my favorite bands of all time, Incubus. DJ Kilmore came on and a nice 30-minute chat with him. And that's just like one of those bands, dude, that like my wife loves them, so I end up listening to them all the time, but they're still like go back to one of my favorite bands of all time. And it was fun to kind of talk DJ with them because I think I've had like Kaizo on, who is like an actual DJ that goes all out and does stuff, but he's like more of a bleep and bloop DJ. Like, you know, DJ Kilmore is a little bit more of a record scratching type DJ in a band,
right?
So I think that was in the 8 or so years of the show, I think that was the first DJ on the podcast, and it was kind of cool. I had a couple of, you know, questions about you know because he replaced a DJ,
right?
Because there was DJ Life and Incubus before him, and I was trying to figure out how tough it would be to come into a band. And like, you know, you have to either recreate those sounds or find those sounds or, you know, whatever. And we were kind of going through that. And, you know, he said that they actually had a like a record made of all the sounds that they were already using. Sure. So it wasn't too bad. So they could go in and get all the samples that he needed. But fun conversation, man. And he actually was the DJ on the Primer 55 album, Introduction to Mayhem.
Look at that. So, wow.
So yeah, we did like, you know, 6 degrees of separation with some Primer 55.
Nice. Dude, am I crazy in thinking Incubus is one of those bands that if you ask 100 people to name 5 songs, they can't. But if you play them 20 songs, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know all those.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I was about to say, I was like, well, no, yeah, they would definitely know and sing along to most of the songs, yes.
Dude, I know I interviewed Brandon, the singer, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, at some pandemic point, so it's anywhere between 1 to 3 years ago. I interviewed Brandon, and going into the interview, I was like, man, I don't know anything about Incubus. I don't know. And I've seen him a few times even.
When the hell did you interview Brandon Boyd? I don't remember that at all.
It was during the pandemic.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I was like, you sure that wasn't my interview with him?
No, I interviewed him, and he was sitting in his house right next to his fireplace. I remember doing the interview, and he's real artsy. He's definitely really artsy. And but I when I interviewed him to get ready for it, I was like, let me just go back and listen to these songs. And I'm looking at the names, and the only one I knew off the top of my head was Drive. You know, I knew that one. And then I started playing them. I was like, okay, know that one, know that one, know that one, know that. I was like, man, I know everything these guys have ever done. Right. You know. but nobody seems to know it. When you say it, everybody will say, yeah, I love Incubus. They, oh yeah, what songs? Well, there's Drive.
Right.
And then there's a Drive.
Pardon me, but I think they're a band that I think if they had a different name, I think they would have probably been bigger.
Sure. I think so too.
I think this is one band that the name kind of hinders them.
Yeah. But even that said, they're still a big band.
Oh yeah. Huge band.
Yeah.
We went to, I've seen them a few times over the last couple of years, and every time, I mean, it's just either packed out theater or Louder Than Life, you know, high up on the bill. And even the last few years, I mean, they've been, if not the headliner of the festival, they're like the second to the last band of the night.
Right.
You know, things like that. So it was a fun interview, man.
Yeah. Very cool. I can't wait to dig into that one myself.
I liked the part where he was talking about when Make Yourself came out with Drive and Pardon Me and all that on it, how, you know, that when he joined the band, they were playing to like 45 dudes in a punk rock club. And then by the end of the Make Yourself tour, it was 90% women and, you know, packed out crowds. And right. Stuff. Yeah, they're a band. They're like, you know, like your favorite band, Deftones, man. They're a band that the women love.
Yeah, the only difference is they're good.
Oh man. what's been going on over at the Chris Aiken Presents, man? What did you have going on there this week?
We didn't do it. We had no guests. We just had Eric talking about his gig in Tucson, which ruffled some band feathers, which I will not get into here, but
right,
which led to yesterday spending a few hours on the phone going back and forth with a bunch of people about that kind of stuff. But you know, just kind of I had Jen Majura on solo for the Tuesday edition. So on Tuesday's edition was Jen, my new best friend, Jen Majura, talking. I don't know if you've ever interacted with her or not, but she is, I had never interacted with her ever. And she sent me an email. I had asked her publicist about doing something, and I guess the publicist just forwards emails to her. And it was like we've known each other our whole life. And we got on the StreamYard, and it was just two old friends kicking it.
There you go.
And just talking about her YouTube channel. And, you know, she has these dance videos on the YouTube channel, which are fucking hysterical because it's just her dancing with people you wouldn't expect. It's like Mauricio from Cataclysm and, you know, like all these crazy death metal bands just all going, you know, just doing their thing with her. And it's like, how in the hell did she make this happen? And, you know, so I was asking her about that. So she's fun. She's a lot of fun. And her new band, How We End, is kick ass. So people should definitely check that out.
Got a question here, Mike Julitz. Is it Ditto and Deftones that you don't like them, or Ditto and Deftones that you do like them?
You know the answer. You know the answer.
I just want to see. I just want to see you, man.
You know the answer.
But, well, man, let's dive into some news, man. And I think the one thing that we were actually texting about earlier, let's see if we can We can pull up this Crazy Town fight.
I love this.
I have not seen the video. I wanted to wait.
Oh, you didn't watch the video at all?
No, I haven't seen
any of the videos.
So let's.
This is an all-timer, dude.
Share screen. Do-do-do.
Oh, no, it really is like a Chris Aiken venture.
Right? You can play, can you not play on the screen?
Okay. Now make it full screen on the YouTube side.
There you go. All right. Can you control it from the screen, though?
You have to do it from the YouTube side.
Mother, father.
All hey, right, language.
I don't have all right, let's see.
I don't have it. You'll give me my money. You're never going to fuck. You're going to steal my money. You robbed me.
Jesus Christ.
You robbed me. I had you 20 times.
Was that the N word in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they canceled?
They're canceled.
You robbed me. You robbed me. I had you 20 times.
Did you
put your hands on him?
All right, stop there for a second, dude.
I don't want to fight
you. All right.
I just got to make a simple point. When you're laid out on the ground, you can't talk shit. When the one guy is standing up because he laid you the fuck out and you're damn near unconscious, your face is all bloody and you're laid on your back, you can't keep talking shit.
Right.
You either got to get up or shut up.
You know? Yeah. Well, I think he's the one that came out after the fight and was just like, oh, no, we're cool.
Cool.
Mike Jolitz, I liked them, same as Incubus. So I did know the answer.
Sorry for your taste, Mike. Sorry for your taste.
Oh. All right. Let's see here. All right. Back to the fight here.
All right.
With you, I said, I want to give you your money and leave.
Hey, helps him up. Nice. That's a nice guy.
I love you.
I love
they're
you.
Done. They're not done.
Why are you taking my money? You said, fuck you, man. I'm having my life, I did. You said you did.
It's okay, homeboy.
Where's my guarantee? I'm going to kill your fucking kids.
I'm going to kill your fucking nigga. Did he just say, I'm going to kill your kids?
He said, I'm going to kill your kids. And then he talks about he's going to cut their throats and stuff. I mean, this is nuts.
I'm going to take your fucking hair and cut your throat.
Jesus.
Head,
bitch. Dude, you're shaking
this fucking face.
You know I never wanted to. What the fuck you get? Because you're attacking.
Wipe my face
off. You know I've been boxing my whole life. I'll fuck you up so bad. I don't want to. I want you. I love you.
When you're fighting somebody and you're like, I don't want to have to do this. I love you. That's...
Well, and you know what, though, dude? Because you haven't seen this yet. I'll give you a little preview. Exactly what you think is going to happen. Is gonna happen.
I'm so bad. 3:13 in the morning,
dude. I asked you to fucking sit your baby. Boy.
I fucking you shit in the ass and stab your babies.
Stab your babies.
You feel tough now, bitch?
Dude, I do feel tough.
I think you're a bitch ass motherfucker. Okay, boy. Yeah. I showed up for you, right?
Listen, I said, please.
No, what you said is you need
to. You said I ain't got your fuck money, you punk ass motherfucker.
I don't have your money, dude.
You collected my fucking guarantee! Yes, you did. He just said it. He gave it to you.
Who gave it to me?
He said he gave it to you.
What is going on here? No. Man, I'm backing that up.
He just cold cocked him because he was losing the verbal argument.
He just said he gave it to you.
Watch. Dude turns away for 1 second, right here. Boom.
Jesus Christ.
And even then, the one dude still doesn't want to fight him.
Oh, shifty shell shock there.
Oh, it's on now.
Stop. Just stop. Hey, I want my money. I love you.
I want my money. I love you. They got the Hell's Angels shows up here. What's going on here?
Come here, Chris. You gave him the money. What up, nigga? I keep you scared. Suck it, punch. I'll sucker punch you now, bitch.
What? I'll sucker punch you now, bitch. Is not.
Yeah. You already did it. You got to take it down.
All right, couple more minutes. Couple more seconds.
You're a bitch ass motherfucker. I never had your money, bro.
You're a pussy.
You can't do this. No, they're out. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
What, that didn't happen in you guys' in your bands?
I don't, it never got like that. I'll tell you that right now. Troy Turner, this is fucking ridiculous. Bunch of 50-year-olds trying to dress young. Well,
that's true too. I didn't even think about that part, but
you sure love him, all right. Nothing like threatening to murder children.
I know. I was like, wow, there's some harshness going on there.
Embarrassing AF. Yes. Yes, it is, man. So I know Shifty Shellshock. Is he the last remaining like original dude? And then the, cause the other guy is like the other singer of the band, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, and they're just like, they're just finally having it out, man. That blows my mind.
Well, dude, how do you get kicked off a head PE tour?
Yeah,
that takes something.
Right. Yeah, that's toxic AF. Yes, Troy Turner. Yes, very toxic. Oh man, I'm just trying to think back to like some of those tours. I mean, you get like isolated and who booked these clowns in the first place? I mean, when you're on the new metal revival tour and you're head PE, I mean, you take Crazy Town. I mean, that's a draw in this.
Well, like, sure. Until you see
this world, until this happens, yeah. that's bananas, dude. Like, it's just, I'm trying to think. Like, the only time I ever came close to that on tour, it was like me and our tour manager went out and got like shit faced. And like we got into like a small scuffle like on the way back to the van. Like,
right.
But other than that, I mean, nothing like that. But it, I mean, you got money and I don't know who to believe in this situation. Like,
I know this, though. You start threatening kids, that's an automatic no.
Yeah.
You can't, even if it's just you talking shit, you can't go there. You can go to I'll kill you or I'll cut your throat or any of that kind of stuff. But you cannot go to
I'm gonna stab your children.
Yeah, you can't do I'm gonna stab your children. You just can't do it. That's too much.
B40. That video is sadder than Billy Squire Rock Me Tonight video.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Do you want to hear the rebuttal from Jared from Head PE here?
Sure.
Let's see. Share screen. Crazy Town removed.
Hey, what's up, you guys, man? I just want to check in and give you an update on what's going on out here. Head PE had to kick Crazy Town off the tour, you know. We're not saints by any means, you know, and Head PE has done some crazy shit, and I'm not passing judgment on Crazy Town or Seth or anything like that. But whatever has gone on with us, we've always tried to, you know, come with a good rock show. And because of what's going on with Seth and Crazy Town right now, you know, Seth needs help. We can't just sit by while he's on the road battling demons to the death, you know. He needs to get off the road and deal with that shit.
So Seth is shifty.
Yeah.
But the other guy, he didn't seem to be very, you know, non-intoxicated also, allegedly.
No, they were probably both hopped up. And is this after they played where they'd have like a head full of stage juice as well? Maybe.
This came from Fistfight. The Crazy Town intra-band Fistfight happened after Crazy Town mainstay Shifty Shellshock missed his set with the group Sunday, not arriving till later, leaving Crazy Town co-vocalist Bobby Reeves to lead their show in Myrtle Beach without him. So
now, which one was asking for the money? Shifty?
Shifty is the one that asking for the money. The Bobby Reeves is the one saying he's going to stab children.
Okay. So Shifty probably skipped the show because he didn't get paid.
Well, it looks like this is after the show. So Bobby did the show, but
Shifty showed up late.
Yeah, but then Shifty's the one asking for the money after the show. Like, he didn't perform, but he still wants the money.
Right. Or was he supposed to get the money before the show? He didn't, so he didn't show up, and then it turned into a fight after.
I believe that Shifty did miss the show for a reason. I forget what it is.
Okay.
Sure. What else we got here?
So, you've seen the video. If it was just a fist fight between band members, we could maybe I could be the first one to kind of, mediate some shit like that. But this is a lot deeper. It's a lot messier than that. So it's definitely sad for us, because I consider Seth a homie, but just couldn't keep it going. And head PE doesn't support the shit that's gone on, the shit that's been done and or been said by Crazy Town. So I just wanted to check in with you guys and let you know that's where we're at on that situation. So peace.
Holy, let me put distance between this. Drop what's crazy is that threaten kids and you're done, right?
Right. Well, I mean, what's crazy is the dude like basically using the N-word over and over, and Jared's obviously a black fella, right. So it's just like, how that dude ever gets back on any kind of tour. Yeah.
So do they get kicked off because of the N-bombs, or do they get kicked off because of the threatening children? What the hell?
It was a fist fight between band members. What do you mean? I'm assuming that was towards Jared. Good on Jared. I opened for Head PE twice last year. They're good dudes and professionals. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if they get kicked off. I mean, because the fight actually, I guess it's negative, but it also brought a lot of light to the tour.
Sure.
So it's like bad press. There's no such thing as bad press, but yeah,
with cancel culture, the head PE might be worried about losing their gigs and whatever.
Yeah.
Because they're dropping N-bombs.
They also, Is it normal that a band member is paying out the cash each night? Where's the tour manager? I would say Matt Barth on this one. Yes, it would be. I think that on a level like this, there's probably not there might be overall tour manager for the entire tour. Yeah. I'm going to assume that Crazy Town did not have their own personal tour manager. So like one of the band members would take that role. So like either Shifty or this Bobby Reeves fella, like he, would go collect the money from said tour manager, or even just go straight to the promoter.
Right.
At that point, you would pay out if you're doing a per diem a day, or, if you're doing a per gig payment to the hired guns in the band, that whole thing. So, yes, it is normal that a band member is paying out the cash each night.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And especially, those bands there, it's not like this is not a big tour. If there's a tour bus, it's just for Head PE. The rest of the guys are in vans, don't you think? Them, Edema, and who's the other one on this tour? It's them, Edema, and somebody else.
Tantric, I think.
Yeah, Tantric. So they're all in vans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a small tour.
Definitely need a tour manager. Yeah, they definitely need a tour manager. Otherwise, this is going to happen again. I mean, it's basically, if Shifty, allegedly is on some stuff and, is on a bad path, it's kind of like that. They always make those jokes about the crackhead landlord that wants the rent's due on the first, but they're hitting you up on the 28th trying to get it early and shit. You definitely don't want the money of the band running through the band members. But yeah, I mean, you would think a tour like this would. I mean, I guess I haven't toured really in like the Cash App, PayPal, really online banking era. Sure. So you would think maybe this would just be like some sort of wire transfer at the end of the night, but maybe they are just getting paid cash at the end of the night and divvying it up from there going on with the gas money and everything else to get to the next town. And what's funny is they talk about, I'll go back to Matt's question about, is it normal that a band member is paying out the cash each night? Where's the tour manager? I remember back in the day, my friend Chris Arkin, not Chris Aiken, Chris Arkin, ran a bus company.
Okay.
And he was leasing to Seven Dust and Deftones and everything else. But he also was leasing to why am I blanking on the band? Was it Warrant? Was Janie Lane in Warrant?
Yeah, he was in Warrant.
So he leased to Warrant. And he got a call one day and he played me the voicemail. I was like, hey, this is Janie Lane, tour manager of Warrant. they were having an issue, but like I just remember just hearing that going, like, wow, like, oh, how the time it was. This was like 97, 98, so it was right. Like it was just funny to hear, hey, this is Janie Lane, tour manager of Warrant, you know. They're having an issue with the bus, but yeah, so you know, a certain point every band gets to the point of they might not have a tour. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, like, I mean, this is a tour, but you know, Eric Ferrantinos and those guys,
sure,
you know, I guess they do have a somewhat tour manager, but
yeah, Jason Green, yeah,
yeah, but you get out there and you want to cut as many corners as you can. Mm-hmm. And so a tour manager on this level, you're probably not doing. I'm sure Head PE has somebody with them.
Sure.
That, and like even Primer, like we had tour manager / sound guy. Like he had two gigs.
Sure. You
know, he set up the hotels and all that stuff, but then he also did the sound every night. So you kind of get a jack of all trades guy in that right. position. So,
well, then all that said, you never got knocked the hell out like that.
No, but the guy that I did get in a fight with, like, had he really wanted to, he would have murdered me.
Like, I don't know. Dude, when you watch, is there any coming back from that? You as a band guy, could you, especially now that it's out on TMZ and the whole fight is there and all the words and threats and everything, is there coming back? Can you sit down a week from now and say, we're just talking shit, blah, blah, blah. You know, are we cool? Let's get back on the road.
Yeah. I mean, you can, I mean, normally you sober up the next day. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you've been enough fights with your friends and the next day you're cool. Sure. So, and you're out there kind of for a greater good kind of thing.
But it's my fights never ended up on TMZ either.
True.
You know, I mean, that's the thing is now, and that's why I'm asking the question. I mean, yeah, I get it. Boys will be boys and you'll knock each other around a little bit.
Yeah.
But now for the next 5 years, every time these guys try to even do an interview anywhere, they're going to be asked about this, you know, to where it's now a wound that ain't going to heal. It's a wound that's going to be opened up every time they try to promote anything that they do.
Yeah. Another question here from Matt Barth. This level of bands without the tour manager, what are they getting a night? $1,500 to split between the five guys. They might, I'm assuming they're getting more than $1,500, but they're definitely not splitting. They're not splitting between five guys. It's all going. I'm sure if everyone but Shifty is probably on some sort of, you know, couple $100 a gig type thing.
Sure.
And they're, you know, he gets, I would assume they probably get a per diem of like, 10, 15, 25 bucks a day.
Right.
And then either they get paid once a week, they get paid at the end of the tour. But yeah, they're not like handing each other 300 right. bucks at the end of the night.
What do you think?
They gotta put money in the gas, you know, they gotta get gas money to the next gig, and you know, the hotels are coming out of that money. So I mean, I'm sure it's more than 1,500, but they're definitely not splitting it equally.
What do you think they're getting? 5 G's?
I mean,
I don't think it could be more.
They were that, I mean, as a name on the, I mean, I get that they're opening too, man. I don't know. I, because I'm also where, you know, we look at these lists of like, you know, what Rat and Cinderella and all that, you know, like not that Cinderella's playing, but you know what I'm saying? Like all those 80s bands, those lists come out, you know, where you get Jefferson Airplane for
25 grand
or some shit. Yeah. So you're like, so, A Crazy Town, you know, they had the butterfly hit, and you know, I'm assuming they get, I don't know.
I can't imagine 10. No way. I'm thinking Head PE gets like 10 to 15 at most.
You think so?
Otherwise the ticket's going to be crazy. You got to pay Edema 3 to 5. You got to pay Tantric probably 3.
Yeah.
So I would think maybe 5 grand for Crazy Town and 10 grand for Head PE and a ticket price of about $30, $35.
I played 40 years for love. So you're getting paid cool. Not everybody can be Taylor Swift. That's true. Lord.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is that Lord Nelson? Or is that just another thank you, Lord?
I think it's just another Lord.
All right. We got all kinds of Lords. There's
a lot of Lords out there. It's very religious, very religious circle we run in.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I would have to look into what a tour like this would do. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless you're playing like the Machine Shop every night.
Right.
Metal Gods. Nice. All right. Well, 30 minutes on that. Let's see here. A couple of other things I wanted to kind of bring up. Oh man. You want to go Eddie Van Halen or Dieth?
Let's go Dieth. I'm Team Ellefson.
Yeah, I mean, the only really reason I brought this one up, man, is I think the single is cheesy.
Oh, the Don't Get Mad, Get Even? You don't like it?
The Don't Get Mad, Get Even, the anthemic song will have listeners' hearts pumping instantly with its fast-paced, charging rhythms, energetic vocal chants, and chunky thrash-infused riffs.
Yeah, well, you know, the adrenaline people need to settle down with their thesaurus, that's for sure. But, geez, oh, man, there's a lot of nice words in there. But I like the song. I mean, I don't hate it.
I think it. Have you seen the clip of Ellefson, like where he's just like, if you ever have somebody double cross you in your life, and then it clicked into the song. I'm like, all right, we get it. You don't like Dave Mustaine.
Yeah, we got it. Well, I mean, this might be his answer back, because didn't one of the songs from the Megadeth record was clearly a punch at Ellefson. So, you know, this might be his punch back, I guess. But I guess there's a big difference between Megadeth and Dieth or Deeth. I think it's called Deeth, right? Deeth.
I thought it was Dieth. I thought you called it Deeth.
I called it Dieth, and he corrected me and called it Deeth, I think.
I think it was the other way around.
No, nope, I know that's not true.
Okay. Well,
I know because I remember I called it Dieth, and he was like, no, it's Deeth like teeth.
Huh. All right. The thank you, Lord, here asks is, are you going to go see the hot Taylor Swift, Chris?
I would go see Taylor Swift. Why not?
It'd probably be a fun show. If I wasn't here in Australia, I sure would.
Absolutely.
No, that'd probably be a fun stadium show to go see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just overall, I thought it was a little cheesy. Yeah. Just the, you know, we love Dave Ellefson, but
man. We do.
Yeah. A couple of bands have canceled shows recently, and I guess it kind of the shifty shell shot kind of falls into it too, man. But I haven't really read too much into either of these, but I want to bring them up. And one of them is actually kind of country, so we'll just see how the different bands handle canceling shows. Lead vocalist Ronnie Radke cancels two Falling in Reverse shows in Florida over the weekend, citing issues with his voice, but he maintained in video updates that he wasn't sick. The affected shows were April 22nd in Orlando, Florida, and on April 23rd in St. Augustine, Florida, Earth Day Birthday and Planet Bandcamp, respectively. In his updates, Randy Radke apologized to his fans and promised to make up the Falling in Reverse shows at some point in the future. Falling in Reverse current tour is due to resume April 25th in Myrtle Beach. In April 22, a video message, Ronnie Radke says, sorry, guys, Orlando, Earth Day Birthday. I apologize, man. I can't get my vocals. I have to save it for the rest of this tour. I'm really sorry. He continues, you guys are unbelievably awesome, and I just feel so bad. And the rest of the band, you know, we're all here right now. We're very sorry, and I promise I'll make it up to you.
Well, if I was holding off dates to go home and hook up with Paige from WWE, I wouldn't feel bad either. I'd be like, yeah whatever. Yeah, you know, I read this too, and I thought the same thing you did. Well, he's not sick, so what's the matter, you know?
Well, he says it is, I'm sorry I'm not sick. It's just the cold air in some of these venues. There's no moisture. You can hear it in my voice, and I got to take care of my voice.
Yeah, which is a cop-out. Come on. Come on. You play shows of all different temperatures. Just tour in the summer then.
Well, I did say, you know, back when I talked about the last time I went to see Ozzy, mm-hmm. and a couple of songs into the Ozzy set, it was cold, it was at night, it was outside, and two songs into it, his voice just ran away.
Right.
And I believed that it did have to do with the cold air outside. So maybe Ronnie's got something on here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I could play Eddie Trunk here and go, couldn't he just use his laptop?
Wrong show, bro. yeah. Like, what happened? Was there not enough backing tracks on his laptop?
Right. Couldn't get a power strip to get his vocals working.
Oh yeah, but yeah, so we got Ronnie Radke canceling two Falling in Reverse shows, and you and I talked over the last few days about, you know, the Metallica album did not reach number one in the United States because of Morgan Wallen.
Right.
Morgan Wallen, who is a country guy here, you know, that that it's funny because we're watching this Head PE Crazy Town video, and homeboy from Crazy Town is throwing the N-word around. And then Morgan Wallen was the guy that, you know, was caught on like on a Ring camera.
Right.
You know, using the N-word and was canceled for like a week and a half. And then now he's like the biggest country star ever. But he had a concert in Mississippi at the Vaught Hemingway Stadium, which I believe is Ole Miss.
Okay.
The Ole Miss Rebels play.
Right. Okay.
Cancel that too.
Right.
The CEO of Morgan Wallen's record label hits back claims that the country singer was too drunk to perform and canceled his Sunday, April 23rd concert in Mississippi. He canceled 5 minutes before he was supposed to go on
stage. Oh, man.
The opening bands had already played.
Wow.
In a viral TikTok video, a fan filmed one of the event's security guards saying that Wallen was in fact so drunk he couldn't walk and his losing his voice was bull crap. Yahoo News has crap with two asterisks in there, like CR asterisk asterisk. So you can't even say bull crap. Or it could be bull crud. You never know.
I'd like to thank them for protecting us from those harsh words. Jeez. Well, if he was too drunk, that kind of sucks, but, you know, yeah. I guess it happens. I mean, wasn't it when he was dropping the N-bombs? He was, like, in a backyard party all hammered, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was caught on, like, a neighbor's camera, too.
He
was like, woo!
But he was partying, like, he was pretty drunk on that thing, too, right? So
Yeah, that was the whole point of that, too.
So. The guy likes his alcohol, I guess.
Maybe he needs to, him and Shifty Shell Shock can go hang out and get sober together.
Yeah. And with all that going on, Metallica still couldn't beat them. With all the coverage that they got. I mean, was there any band more in the news last week than Metallica?
No, Ian Wadley chimes in, Crazy Town for life.
Yeah, right.
What's up, Ian? Ian's living in Seattle now. He's a big, he's into grunge now.
Right. He's watching my Sea Dragons.
Yeah. Our Sea Dragons. Did you see that my Michigan Panthers
beat my Stars? I'm glad I didn't go down to that game because it was here.
Yeah.
It was here, and I thought about going, and the last second I was like, I'm not going to that. And then they didn't only beat them, they beat the hell out of them. It was what, like 28-10 or something.
Yeah, it was a drubbing. It would have been.
Dude, real quick, while we're talking about the XFL real quick. Did you happen to watch the last game, the Sea Dragons game, to get into the playoffs?
I have no.
So they had some, this is the first time I've ever seen this in my history of watching football, which is like 50 years of watching football. It went down to them getting into the playoffs to the fifth tiebreaker or something.
Okay.
Like, I've never seen it go that far down. It was like every tiebreaker was a tie into, it was some wacky thing that I honestly, quite honestly, I don't know how they figured it out. I think they just made it up because they think that because the Sea Dragons had to be in and they needed that more than they needed AJ McCarron to be in. They needed Josh Gordon's team to be in because they hyped them as the team at the beginning.
So St. Louis didn't make it in the playoffs?
St. Louis is not in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
So it was either McCarron's team was going to make it or Josh Gordon's team was going to make it. And they were all tied. Like, they had the 1-1 against each other. They had the same strength of schedule. They had the same differential in points before, you know, points for versus points against. It went to the fifth level, which they talked about in the whole broadcast. They kept saying, well, if they don't score, somehow they had something that if they scored 34 points,
okay,
then they would get in. But if they didn't score 34 points, then it was some mathematical thing. They never explained it. They talked about it all show. They didn't get to 34. It was 28 to 13 or something. And midway through the fourth quarter, when it was like 28 to 13 or whatever the score was, they were like, well, Sea Dragons are in. And I was like, well, tell me how they're in. You know, tell you've been hyping this whole thing. They didn't get 34, so how are they in? It didn't make any sense at all to me. And I didn't look it up, so it probably is some kind of strength of schedule divided by miles driven or something. You know, it's probably some dumb thing, but it was just, I've never seen a tiebreaker go to the fifth level.
Let's see if we can find it here.
Good luck.
At the
XFL. I'm sure everybody's thrilled because there's so much interest in the XFL.
All right, the two team tiebreakers. One was head-to-head. Two is best win-loss percentage in division games. Three, strength of victory in all games combined record of opponents in wins. Four was best combined ranking among division teams in points scored and points allowed in all games. Five was best combined ranking among all teams in points scored and points allowed in all games.
Which is where six, it was.
Right. Six, best net points in all games. Seven, best net touchdowns in all games. And eight, a coin toss.
A coin toss.
By eight, they're just like, fuck it.
Can you imagine if you played a whole season and they're like, well, we're going to flip a coin to see if you're in or not. If you're the one that was not, man, you would be furious. You just played the whole season. It comes down to a coin toss that you lose. Oh, that would suck.
Yeah. All this article says is Seattle's win knocked out the Battlehawks.
Yeah, they don't say. That's what they did on the broadcast, too. They never said. They just sort of were like, yeah, whatever. It's all good.
Too funny. Hey, you know, we still have the same amount of viewers at this time, so I think we're good.
All right, good.
And nobody's jumped ship just
nobody
yet.
Said, oh, fuck that, XFL, oh, Jesus.
They just went from Morgan Wallen to the XFL.
Jesus oh, God, Christ. This sucks.
All right, let's talk some Metallica.
All right.
This is actually Metallica adjacent, I guess, but Metallica lawyer says Napster lawsuit was necessary to, quote, set the ground rules for what music is worth.
Nothing.
Right. Veteran music business attorney Peter Paterno, who has worked with Metallica since the early 80s, has defended the band's lawsuit against Napster in 2000. Although the case was settled out of court, more than 300,000 users were banned from the pioneering music file sharing service as a result of Metallica's, and as a result, Metallica's image took a tremendous beating in the eyes of music fans. Asked in a new interview with Variety, if he feels the legal action was quote-unquote fair, Paterno responded, yeah, and added, because they were basically thieves. It's not a popular opinion. The popular opinion is now a sort of revisionist history that we shouldn't have sued Napster. We should have worked something out with them. Well, no, there was nothing to work out with them. You could have made a deal. What's the deal? People were getting music for free. It was really necessary in order to set the ground rules for what music is worth. Those fans aren't fans. Fans pay for music and appreciate its value. It's like Dre said when we told him about Napster, I work 24/7 in the lab and these guys just get to steal it. Screw them.
Okay. I have a bunch of problems with that statement.
All right.
First and foremost in that, and tell me if you agree or disagree. He's wrong. He's just flat out wrong that it's revisionist history that Napster was anything but bad. Nobody has ever said that. No, there's never been even during Napster, even when Napster was happening. I used to use Napster. I'll admit it.
Oh, yeah, we all did.
We all did. And I knew it was stealing from the bands.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. I'm just being honest, I didn't care.
Well, I think there's more revisionist history against Metallica because, you know, you got the Lars was right shirts and you've got like, you know, back then everybody was mad at Metallica for going up against Napster. And now it's like, yeah, Metallica was probably right. I think
do you think that everybody went against, I mean, it didn't hurt them in sales. It didn't hurt them in ticket sales. I don't think people went against Metallica. I think people just think people got tired of hearing it. And I think, like everything else, it was a media spin. The media sure liked to talk about it nonstop. But I don't think people actually gave two shits.
Thanks to that, Ian. Thanks to Napster, I can't make a living as a podcaster. Hashtag Team Lars.
There you go. Perfect. I just don't think that it was that big of a hit on Metallica. I mean,
I think the fringe fans, not the hardcore fans, but the fringe fans were like, oh, look at these rich rock stars and blah, blah, blah. I think you did get a lot of that back then.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think the bands, as it should be, the bands were always more upset about it than the fans were. I remember, I mean, I've told this story a million times, but Dave Mustaine asked me once about if I was using Napster, and I told him yes. And he goes, I hope you could sleep well knowing that you're stealing from me every night. And I said to him, I said, I sleep just fine, Dave, just fine. You know, I was like, I don't care. You know, it's like, whatever. You know, how many times have you ripped me off with two good songs on a fucking 15 song disc? You know, and I gladly gave $15 a disc. It goes both ways. Yeah. To me, in my own head, and this is only my dumb head that people can disagree with all they want, but it leveled the playing field. It really kind of made it to where, like, I don't know about you, but if I downloaded stuff from Napster and I liked it, I generally went out and bought it anyway. Yeah. You know, and for me personally, it was more about, I would be such a Metallica fan that if it was leaked 2 weeks early, I would download it, listen to it for the 2 weeks, and I'd still go buy it. You know, I'd still go buy it because I wanted it for my collection. And the only other stuff other than that that I ever downloaded from Napster was stuff that in a million years I would have never bought. Or even, like, for me, I didn't know anything about Triumph. So I remember downloading the entire Triumph catalog.
Yeah.
And I listened to it and I was like, this ain't my thing. It's done. And some of it I kept. I mean, some of it I probably still have somewhere, some hard drive somewhere. But, you know, I think the interesting thing out of this whole thing is you can say all you want that, you know, Napster killed the industry and Metallica was fighting back against it. But what did the industry do? The industry turned itself into Napster. Spotify is Napster. You know, YouTube Music is Napster. YouTube is Napster. Apple Music is Napster. It's all just a version of Napster. The industry saw it and said, well, this is how we can not pay anybody and keep any bit of money that's generated. And they swooped in. They saw Napster as a home run and they stole the idea. So if people want to be mad at the industry that did nothing to protect the bands. Didn't protect them from Napster, and instead just made side deals to do the same thing once the genie was out of the bottle.
In May 2000, Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich famously delivered a literal truckload of paper to Napster Incorporated, listing hundreds of thousands of people who allegedly used the company's software to share unauthorized MP3s of Metallica songs. Metallica representatives compiled the more than 60,000-page list of 335,435 Napster user IDs over one weekend in response to Napster's promise to terminate the accounts of the users who trade material without permission. Real names were not included in the list.
Yeah. Again, I don't think they were necessarily wrong for trying to defend themselves. I'm just saying that they should be in today's world. If we're talking about this, they should be mad at the labels. Which Metallica's not on label anymore. Are they? They're on their own deal, aren't they?
Yeah, their own label. They're on Blackened Records.
Yeah, and now they even have their own, pressing house or something for pressing physical product. You know, see, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah, Troy Turner, exactly, Chris. If it wasn't for Napster, we probably wouldn't have streaming services now.
Yeah.
And then Ian, Napster played drums on St. Anger. Napster also bankrolled Morgan Wallen. So
there you go.
Weren't there Napster sponsored tours at some point? I think Napster sponsored a Limp Bizkit tour, if I'm not mistaken.
Wasn't that was like the after Metallica, right? That when they repackaged Napster.
Yeah, they were trying to make Napster into like a iTunes or something.
Yeah, it didn't quite work out that way, did it? It's still up, isn't it? Is Napster still up?
I don't know.
Napster.
And Metallica is going to be knocking on your door.
Yeah, it's just another streaming service. $10.99 a month.
The hell, 30 days free than $10.99 a month.
Yeah, for really? The exact same shit that you would get anywhere else. Now,
I remember we tried to do the whole you know, if you downloaded something off Napster, like the I remember White Pony from Deftones leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a friend of mine had like a TI connection, T1 connection,
right?
T1, and so it took us like a whole day to download the album.
Sure,
you know. So I mean, like the technology wasn't super there to, you know, download.
No,
you know, like right now, if we downloaded something, it takes 15 seconds or whatever, right. Even less than that. Back then, it was like a whole day. Leave your computer on, go to work. Yeah. Come home. You, hope nothing happened while you were gone. You know,
hope it didn't time out.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times you'd go to play it, it wouldn't be what you downloaded.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, some bullshit or whatever. And I was not a big fan personally of Napster. I used it. I used it for leaks and stuff. But you know, it was what it was at the time. Look, the genie was already coming out of the bottle. Yeah. Even if it wasn't for Napster, the iPod was changing everything. The iPod was going to change everything. And just the way that you had to upload music to the device was it was inevitably going to create digital transfers. Yeah. Napster showed you how to do it. But I mean, inevitably, if it wasn't Napster, people would have been doing the same thing that they've been doing since. Ripping it to their iTunes and emailing it to wherever, you know.
I mean, Napster was a pretty ingenious software. It was. Just for the fact that, like, because it wasn't a database or a bank of music, and they were pulling from it. It was technically like you were logging into my computer, and mm-hmm. you know, and I was logging into yours, and that one, and this one, and
also the peer to peer.
Yeah, peer to peer. So, like, on surface level, like if I wanted to share my music with you. That's legal. So, I mean, like there was a really weird gray area there.
Yeah.
On like, hey, I want to share my files with you, then that's fine. But when you're technically just throwing everything up there for everybody, just for a free for all, which was crazy. But I like Napster was good. LimeWire was okay. Like when the BitTorrent stuff started happening, where you could click like one button and get an entire band's discography. Like that's when shit was just crazy.
Yeah, that's when it got a little out of control. But but even that, I mean, it's still, dude, I mean, I'm sure you remember this. Part of the deal with Napster was you would connect and then you'd watch it for a while. And then you'd be like, all right, I'm on a bad torrent or something, you know, or a bad. You'd be like, all right, it's downloading 2K an hour. You know, right. it's going to be 3 weeks before this one song is downloaded. So then you would disconnect and have to reconnect. It's kind of the same boat with people do this with the Amazon Fire Sticks, and they jailbreak them and try to use like Kodi or something to get free movies or whatnot. And yes, you can do it. You know, I've jailbroken a zillion of those Amazon sticks, but ultimately it's such a pain in the ass. It's constantly, you know, you watch one movie today and halfway through the movie, it kicks off and it tells you that site's been taken down. So you got to go find another site. And, you know, I can only speak for me, but all of that stuff, all it taught me was just pay the $10 a month. Mm-hmm. Just be done with it. Pay the 10 bucks and get everything without all the hassle.
All right. One last story and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen's Hot for Teacher guitar sells for close to $4 million at auction.
Well, I didn't want to brag about how much I spent for it, but
the guitar that Eddie Van Halen used in the music video for Van Halen's Hot for Teacher sold for $3.932 million.
Wow.
During an auction at Sotheby's. The custom-made Kramer axe had a minimum bid of $1.8 and was previously valued at between $2 and $3 million.
If he was still alive, how much less would that guitar be worth?
Oh, it would probably be maybe $1 million guitar. I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
I mean, more than half the value has to be because he's dead, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how all this stuff. Like once they die, it just shoots through the roof.
Right.
According to Sotheby's, stage used in filmed guitar was custom made by Paul Unkert at Kramer Guitars for Eddie Van Halen, including the important innovations customized for Eddie's evolving guitar technique. Oh. It served as one of Eddie Van Halen's primary guitars between 83 and 84. Those are some prime years.
Sure.
The guitar was gifted by Eddie Van Halen to the band's retiring drum tech, Greg Emerson, around 1990. Emerson subsequently gave the guitar to his nephew, who sold the guitar to Neil's Music in Huntington Beach, California. Neil's Music then sold the instrument to its current owner.
Wow.
I bet you that nephew got like $30. You know, I mean, there's some shitty, like,
yeah,
like Greg Emerson gets it, gives it the nephew probably started playing guitar. And he's like, hey, if you really want to get good, play this. And then.
Right. Or needed a guitar for his band. So he said, I can't really play this one, but I'll trade it to you straight up, for like $2,000 or whatever.
So Emerson gave the guitar to his nephew, who sold the guitar to Neil's Music. Yeah, Neil's Music. I bet you they didn't give him shit.
Like, probably not. Probably like in the Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
Well, it's valued at $4 million. Well, I'll give you $30.
The guitar comes with a letter of provenance from Unkert, a signed photograph from Eddie Van Halen, its original case with Tour and Warner Brothers tags, and the straight jacket and white gloves worn by Van Halen in the video.
Whoa.
Unkert's accompanying letter details the guitar's history. The Hofford Teacher Van Halen guitar was built by me at Kramer Green Grove Road plant in Neptune, New Jersey, around 82 to 85. That's kind of
It's before 85.
Yeah. Look for the Unk stamps on the neck and body. It was my last project for Ed and Kramer. And then the Hofford Teacher appeared on Van Halen. We're not doing that.
Yeah. It appeared on an album that came out in 84. So the guitar was obviously built before 85.
Yeah.
So,
man, I want to know how much Neil's Music paid for this guitar. I wonder if
The real thing. If they paid like $10,000 for it, which is probably about what they paid for it. They probably paid just like the cost of a guitar.
This is a 1983 Kramer. Oh, that's not worth anything.
Yeah.
I wish I could say.
Yeah.
No, it's just all talking about the $4 million thing. I really wish I could. Yeah. That's going to be my homework for the week. Try to find how much Neil's Music actually paid for this guitar. Cause
right.
I mean, if it was given to a nephew, that nephew was just like, dude, I need some gas money.
And right. Like, exactly.
And sold it to Neil's Music.
Too funny.
What is up, Marco? The one he used on 5150 sold for $10.
All right.
Ian and his love for the Sammy Hagar era.
He's allowed to be wrong. It's okay.
All right, man. Any reviews, recommendations for the week? Have you been listening or watching anything?
Watch or listening, I'll go quickly because I don't really have to talk about it too much because it's been out for a while. But I went back to the Alter Bridge Pawns and Kings record with the announcement that they're on tour with Seven Dust, and killer record. You know, if you like Alter Bridge, you'll like it. It's really good. It's really heavy, a lot heavier than I remember the first time I listened to. And then as far as TV, I took your recommendation and I went through Beef. What a weird show.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's like, I was trying to explain it to somebody that I was recommending it to. And I was like, it's kind of written almost like four-dimensionally. You know, it's not written. It's like, well, you got this guy and he knows this guy because of this girl. And then there's this girl that knows this guy.
Right.
You know, it's like everybody was intertwined. There's what, like 8 characters, and they were all intertwined to each other in some way. Yeah. And it really was good. I mean, it was a good story. What scares me the most is how sort of realistic it was to actually happening, a lot of it. But I do have a question for you, if you know the answer, because I went back and I watched, I think it was episode 8 or 9 twice, because I just didn't get it. What was the creepy clown lady that showed up in a couple of scenes, like walking in the door and then the little kid? When the girl was a little kid, she saw it, but, you know, it was almost like talking to her from the spirit world or something, which was the only time they sort of went supernatural.
Right.
They had that ghost or what, I don't know what it was. It was like it looked like the female version of the Saw character, you know. I don't know what that character was called or anything, but seemed like it was talking to her from her past or something.
Yeah, she was having some issues in that show. I'm trying to see.
I didn't understand what that part was. And they only did it once or twice, which was like, it wasn't like a theme through the whole show. It was just through that, like, 2 episodes. They had the clown lady, whatever her name was.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything online about that. Honestly, I don't remember. By the end of that, I kind of spaced off towards the end of the series, which is kind of the thing with me and trying to stream these shows. By the end of it, I'm like, I don't know.
You can't get to the 10th hour?
Yeah. Like by the end of the series where they're like laying in the canyon, I'm like, and then they're like, then they were like each other's voices or they were.
Yeah, that was weird too.
That was just like, what is going on here?
That was a bit. I wish I'd have been high when I was watching that so that it would have made more sense to me. But yeah, that part was a little weird too. And they're yelling at each other from across the rocks and
yeah.
Then she broke his arm but he's still picking berries that made him sick or what. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. But hey, that just shows you what can happen if you, flip somebody off.
Yeah, all that from a middle finger.
Yeah, I'll tell you though, like that, just that whole opening scene with the road rage and everything. Like I've been so close to that so many times.
Oh yeah.
Like, you're just like, you motherfucker. Yeah,
I'd be a little weary of it now though. I'd be afraid to chase somebody down, just have them pull a gun and shoot me.
Yeah. I was actually taking my oldest son to his mom's house the other day. And like basically in between my house and her house is like the worst part of Louisville.
Okay.
And, there's a section on my way home. I was driving by myself and there's a section where like the left lane ends.
Right.
And it, you know, and then you get on to the other part of the interstate. Right.
Okay.
So there was a guy like kind of playing like traffic cop in the left lane. And he was trying to get everybody to move over before the end of the thing or whatever, just like get over early.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like the guy in a big white truck, big, you know, jacked up white truck, obviously.
Right.
Guy in like a minivan behind him and then me.
Okay.
And so it gets to a point where I could tell like what this guy was doing. He was just being kind of like, you know, where that when people are on the shoulder and somebody gets over a little bit into the shoulder, it doesn't let people start passing if there's like backed up traffic kind of that whole kind of thing. But he was kind of doing it like he was in the lane. And he was trying to get everybody to get over early. Like he was totally just playing like, you know, super traffic cop.
Right.
So this guy ahead of me goes to go around him because there's a little bit of a shoulder on the left hand side.
Right.
And when he did, the guy in the white truck slams on his gas and like hits him.
Oh,
like,
wow.
As they're going, like hits him in the side. And like the other guy, like, but gets around him enough and like takes off. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, was it really worth that much? Like, especially in the part of town that we're in too. Like,
yeah.
And then I get behind the guy in the white truck and he's got like Missouri tags on his thing. I'm like, you're not even from here, dude. Like, what are you doing? And I can tell you're not from here because the section of town we're in right now,
yeah,
you could have just got yourself shot for that.
Right. It's like, you do not want to be broke down here.
Right. I mean, it was crazy. Like the guy like slammed on his gas and shot the guy into the side. I was like, wow, motherfucker, man. Like that, you're just taking your hall monitor self a little too seriously.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. That's crazy.
But musically, I've been listening to a lot of Incubus, and TV wise, I've been watching a lot of like pre-draft coverage. I know you guys don't have a first round pick, but we do. So yeah, I've been getting ready for the NFL draft.
Dude, I've been hearing, you know, I was listening to something today and they're talking about that they're going to trade Tannehill and they're going to trade Derrick Henry. And, you know, I'm like, come on, they're not trading Derrick Henry, are they?
With AJ Brown getting traded last year, I'm kind of not open for anything. I'm just expecting anything.
All right.
I think it would be dumb to trade Henry, but
I mean, Henry's the franchise, isn't he?
He's the, I mean, he might not be the franchise, but he's like the franchise favorite.
The face.
What they're trying to say is that last year Tannehill got hurt and we lost like 7 games in a row.
Okay.
The year before, Derrick Henry got hurt, missed 8 games. Titans went 12-5, number one seed in the AFC. Like, so they're trying to like say that Henry is not worth as much as Tannehill, and it's a whole thing. But
so they're just trying to get their value before the wheels fall off, because Henry's got to be near the end, right?
Well, I think he's about to be 30. So it's the whole like running back at 30 thing.
Yeah. And how many years has he been a pro? 7.
That was the 16 or 17 draft. So yeah.
He's about 7. He's about ready to go to fall apart.
But I will say, and everybody's always like, oh, there's all these carries. But his first 2 years in the league, he split carries with DeMarco Murray. Like that's when we had DeMarco Murray. And then and then even in his third year, he didn't really start until like 6 games in. And then he finally like became Derrick Henry.
But like so, last year, he had like 400 carries or some crazy number, didn't he? Like
he does get a lot of carries, but we will see. I just think with the Titans did get the new stadium approved, so they got like a $2.2 billion stadium. That was officially approved last night.
Okay.
So that'll be 2027. So I mean, basically, honestly, any Titan that's on the team right now will not see that stadium except for maybe one or two. But the next few years are going to be weird, man. It's going to be crazy. I can't believe. You know, they keep saying we're in some sort of weird rebuild, retool, whatever. So yeah, We'll see what happens.
Well, it's going to be a different year, you know, between that and with Aaron Rodgers in the AFC now. And, you know, that's going to be weird. And I was texting with a friend that's a Green Bay fan. I was like, wouldn't it be great if Jordan Love just goes out and has like 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns this year?
And
like,
what did Steve Rochelle say?
Oh, that's who it was. And he was like, yeah, that would be great. You know,
I love seeing I've got a few like Packer fans on my feed and they're like, they're almost like crying, but still like, oh, let's go Jordan Love. You know, like, oh, it's your time now, man.
Well, you know what though? They actually have the history to say that though.
Yeah.
Cause let's face it. They had Brett Favre and then we all made fun of them when they all were saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to step in, and he did. So who knows? Jordan Love might have sat just long enough to be awesome when he comes in. You know?
Yeah, it's going to be one of those Colts thing where it's like Peyton Manning, then Andrew Luck, and then shit. So I'm thinking it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Brett Favre, and now it's going to be Jordan Love and then whoever else for the next however many years.
Right, and then whoever they bring in next year.
Yep. Well, I mean, the script goes that next year Aaron Rodgers will be a Viking. So,
right.
Real quick, Troy Turner here. Lately, it's been Avatar, Orbit Culture, Body Snatcher, and still obsessed with Elf Sulfur.
Nice.
That Orbit Culture album, man, that's awesome. That's a good one. That's a good heavy record.
Like the heavy.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, I think that will do it for another episode of Talk To Me Here. You all right? You still okay that we were live on Facebook and YouTube, man?
I can't believe it.
Did you make it? Or are you still shaking?
No, I'm still nervous. I'm very, very scared. You know,
yeah.
People could see me live.
What concert do you have back there? Who is that?
That's just a random. It's probably Taylor Swift.
that's why they like your team. You're a big Swiftie.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a Swiftie.
Taylor Swift, Hendersonville High School, just like me.
Look at that.
We're bros. No, we're not bros.
We're hoes.
All right. Well, that will do it for Talk To Me here on NotFest.com. As always, I'm Joshua Toomey.
And I am Chris Agan.
And we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.